I want to read for you. You need not turn to it. But I want to read for you one verse that we read a while ago. And there went over a ferry boat. That's a strange term to be in the Bible, isn't it? I just never think about the term ferry boat being in the Bible. There went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he came over Jordan. I want to talk to you for a while this morning about that ferry boat. And I want to remind you before I pray and read the scripture and bring the message, I want to remind you that David, certainly in the Bible, is a type of our Lord Jesus. A type is an Old Testament story or person or character with a New Testament reference. For example, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we know that the serpent in the wilderness was a type of the Son of Man. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So we know that Jonah being in the belly of the whale is a type of Jesus. Now we're reminded in the Bible that Jesus, or David, is a type of Jesus. Jesus is called the root and the offspring of David. He someday is going to sit on the throne of David in his millennial kingdom. And so I want you to listen very carefully. I think you really will see a delightful, beautiful, and marvelous picture here of our Savior as we study just a little bit about this ferry boat of 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 19. So, it's an impressive sight. You've got to get the story, so listen very, very carefully. If you don't get the foundation, you'll not get the message, and I want you to listen very carefully. David has been away from the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he's been away from the main place of Judea. Because his son has rebelled against him. Now David is coming back to the city. He's coming back to sit on the throne again. He's coming back to assume his royal position. He's coming back to grasp the royal scepter and to wear the royal crown and to be covered by the royal robe. He comes to the back to the beloved city. But between him and the city is a barrier, the Jordan River. How shall David cross this angry enemy? He has with him his entire household. And they come to this nasty river, a rather excited kind of river, that is the barrier between David and his family getting back to Jerusalem. Now, you just don't cross. The Jordan River is not a big river, but you just don't wade across it. And in those days, they had not many ways to cross a river. It's about 30 feet wide, averages, I guess, about 30 feet wide. And so David and his household are coming to the Jordan River to cross it. Just as they get the river, from the other side, now get that, from the other side, there comes the ferry boat. Don't forget those words, from the other side. From the other side. There comes a ferry boat. And David and his family board this welcome friend comes to the ferry boat. He and his family get on the ferry boat and it trudges them to the other shore. Now, the crescendo of voices can be heard from the other side. For David, the king is coming with his family to the city. How happy they are. How excited they are. For he who had ruled them shall rule them again. He who had sat on the throne of Jerusalem shall once again ascend to that throne. He who had once worn the great crown of the holy people shall once again wear the crown. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. The king is coming back. And so David and his family, household, get on the ferry boat and are taken on the ferry boat back to the city of Jerusalem. Now, can you see, as the ferry boat leaves for that little 30-foot journey, don't forget that now, just about a 30-foot journey, just takes just like that to get from one side to the other. But as the ferry boat arrives on the other side from which the boat came, on the other side from whence the boat came, don't forget that now, the boat came from the other side. Can you hear the voices as they lift in a pep rally of welcome? What a reunion. What a marvelous picture. David, the king, the greatest king that ever sat on Israel's throne, is now back where he ought to be. And they welcome him with a marvelous pep rally. The Jordan swells with pride. And heaven weeps tears of raindrops as the king brings his family home once again. Thousands had waited on that to share the fruit of victory. Friends are reunited. Souls are fed with the manna of reunion. Get the picture. Get the picture. The king and his household who've been away are now coming back. And the happiness that prevails is indescribable as he gets off the ferry boat on the other side. As I jealously view this cavalcade, I see prophetically another scene. That which transpires when the king takes his own across the river of death to the heavenly Jerusalem. And I see in this story many similarities of the scene when you and I each alone crosses the Jordan and meet the crowd on the other side. This is a marvelous picture. Now, the first thing is this. The boat, the ferry boat, must come from the other side. David and his household had no way humanly to cross the Jordan River. The ferry boat must come from the other side. All over the world today, impotent shipbuilders stand constructing leaky rafts that will capsize in the Jordan when death comes. I'm talking about these false prophet shipbuilders. The Mohammedan bowing toward Mecca. The Egyptian mother kissing her baby goodbye before she throws it to the crocodiles of the Nile River. The deceived Roman climbing the sacred stairs in the holy city trying to do penance so maybe God would receive him into heaven. Or all human shipbuilders building a way to cross the Jordan from the wrong side. And all their boats will capsize when the Jordan comes for you, for the boat must be built on the other side. God's plan of salvation was made on the other side. You can't make a way to heaven. God made it from the other side. And if you ever know what it is to cross the Jordan and arrive in heaven, it'll be because you received a salvation that God made and not man, that heaven made and not earth. It was made on the other side. The Seventh Day Zealot, carefully avoiding his Sabbath pleasure, the baptismal regenerationist entering his watery God, the legalistic commandment keeper attempting to make his own righteousness, the busy Hare Krishna merchandising his gospel, the transcendental meditationist trying to get his call through, all are shipbuilders trying to build a way to heaven on this side. Go all the confessional booths you want to go to, but that won't get you across the Jordan. Salvation comes from the other side. You can confess your sins to a priest till his ears are heavy and your tongue is tired, but he won't get you one inch toward the other side because salvation ship is built on the other side. You can be confirmed as a child all you want to, but salvation comes from the other side, not from this side. All need to learn one thing. The boat is built on the other shore, and all together in a million years cannot build a ship that will withstand the Jordan of death. Everything about this gospel comes from the other side. Mercy comes from the other side. Grace comes from the other side. Forgiveness comes from the other side. The work comes from the other side. The power of God comes from the other side. Pardon comes from the other side. The way to heaven comes from the other side. The Savior comes from the other side. Quit your boat building. Get on board, buddy. The ship's been built. You don't have to build it yourself. The ship's been built. Salvation's plan is finished. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess His love divine. You quit your shipbuilding and you realize, stop and realize this morning that it comes from the other side. Your priest can't save you. He's on the wrong side. Your church can't save you. It's on the wrong side. Your communion can't save you. It's on the wrong side. Your baptism can't save you. It's on the wrong side. Your confirmation can't save you. It's on the wrong side. Let it be echoed through the centuries. Salvation is of the Lord. Just as David comes with his household and they approach the raging, unfriendly, troubled waters of the Jordan, it is humanly impossible from David's side to get across that Jordan. Nowhere in the world. Something has got to come from the other side. And David sees that little ferry boat as it trudges that 30-feet journey from the Judean side to the eastern side. And David and his family realize the only hope to get across the Jordan is if somebody on the other side has built it. I'm not trying to fight other religions, folks. I'm trying to fight these shipbuilders that build from the wrong side. You quit the shipbuilding business and get in the shipboarding business. You'll understand what it is to be born again. All attempts for mankind to save himself. I'm talking about Sabbath keeping. I'm talking about good works. I'm talking about commandment keeping. I'm talking about the sacraments. I'm talking about confession. I'm talking about the Holy Eucharist. I'm talking about all the other attempts are simply futile attempts of impotent shipbuilders to build a ship to cross the Jordan. But every single man-made ship will capsize in the middle of the Jordan. The only hope to cross it is to get the ship from the other side. There's a second thing I want you to notice, and I love this. I love it, I love it, I love it. The king gets on board. His family gets on board. His entire household gets on board. But I want you to notice, the king himself was no more secure than the most insignificant member of his family. The king, David, is on the same ferry with his children, with his household. And let me tell you this morning, don't misunderstand me, but Jesus Christ himself, he is no more sure of heaven than Jack Hiles is. Did you hear what I said? Huh? Did you? Listen, Jesus himself will go to hell as soon as I will. You say, you must think you're something. No, I think the ship is something. I think the ferry is something. And Jesus, listen, Jesus is on the same ship that I'm on. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God is his Father. God is my Father. The Holy Spirit it was who came into him in Luke chapter 3. And the Holy Spirit lives in me. And though I'm not as good as Jesus, and though I'm not as powerful as Jesus, I'm just as saved as Jesus. Listen, as they boarded that little ship, as that little ship trudged its way from that 30-feet journey or trek across the Jordan River, the king himself was not any more saved than the smallest child, than the weakest person on that ship, because both the king and his household, all his household, were trusting the safety of that little ferry boat. And I'll tell you what, brother, I'll tell you what. Any kind of salvation less than that bothers me something terribly. I mean, was there a frightened one on board? Was there someone afraid? The king is on board the ship. Every care was taken to provide for his safety. If he gets there, you will. And if Jesus goes to heaven, I'll go to heaven too. Now, boy, that's shouting around. Listen, if Jesus goes to heaven, I'll go to heaven. Why? I'm in him, that's why. I'm inside of him. I'm on the same boat that he's on. As that little ferry boat trudged across. I want to know something else too. The king didn't come to meet them. He came across to go across with them. Don't be afraid of death. Somebody says, oh, when I die, Jesus is going to meet me on the other shore. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's going to come over to the shore where you are and cross with you, you see. He's not going to meet you on the other shore. Ah, blessed be God. You folks that maybe have a little illness this morning, or maybe you have what the world calls a terminal illness, or maybe you're facing the senior years of life, or maybe you have a little fear about death. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. Before you ever cross the chilling Jordan to get to the other side, I'll guarantee you one thing. Jesus is not just going to come and say, hey, come on over here. No, sir. He's going to cross the Jordan and go with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou shalt meet me. No. For thou art with me. Ah, here comes David. And here comes his people on the little ferry boat. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Bless his name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Brother Sully, just as sure as I'm standing here, if when they rolled you into surgery and opened that chest of yours and took that heart out and put a temporary heart to beat your blood, if you had not gotten off that table, Jesus would not have met you in the holy city. He would have crossed over on your side and been right there with you to board the boat, the ferry, to cross over to the holy city. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise his name. No longer I roam. My soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. There's something highly overrated, and that's the fear of death. Highly overrated. I just don't quite see a whole lot to worry about when the King's going to come and go with you across death, and you're going to live in heaven forever and ever. That just somehow doesn't bother me a great deal. I want you to notice something else, too, and I love this. Didn't send the ship, because the trip wasn't very long. Didn't send an ocean-going vessel. The King wasn't going to go from the Europe across the Atlantic or from California across the Pacific. No, sir. Why? Because death is not a real long journey. Just a ferry boat, 30 yards, maybe. Not a long cruise, not a Northwest Passage. The honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, in the middle of that Jordan River, you can see both sides at the same time. With one ear, you can hear the goodbyes, and the other ear, you can hear the welcomes. The branches of one side meet the limbs of the other side almost on top of the river. The rays of heaven's light reach all the way to earthly shore, and like the Berlin Wall, death may divide us, but only by a few feet. The journey is not very long. Folks, the journey from earth to heaven at death is not a long series. No, no, you'll say goodbye. Goodbye, children. Hello, children. If my mother passed away today and Earlene and I were beside her bedside, and her mother said goodbye, son, and goodbye, Earlene, you mark it down. Her breath won't even quit blowing till she looks over and says, hello, Loreen. Hello, Hazel. It's just a 30-yard journey across the Jordan River, and the King just had a little journey to take place, and heaven's not very far from here. It's just down the road a piece. It's a little foggy down there as you travel, but it's just down the road a piece, just an average width. Oh, listen, if I could do one thing to our people, I'd love to do it. If I could help take away the sting of death from our people. If I could make you not realize, not think of death as being some dark monster that comes to get you and eats you up like an alligator opening its mouth to get you and taking you down through the... Oh, no, death is when the Lord Jesus himself, the glorious Son of God, the King of Kings, the Captain of our salvation, goes over the Jordan and says, come, I'm going to take you to the city where I've been, and I'm going to take you across the Jordan, and he will never leave you or forsake you. There's something else I want you to notice. As soon as they got across on the ferry boat, they were met at the other side. Here's David. He and his household coming back on the other side. Now, here you can hear the sound and crescendo of the cheers of welcome from those who had hoped the King would come. Thousands. Bands play. Banners wave. Shouting can be heard. Garlands of orchids strow his way. Warm embraces and prepared refreshments for the King is coming with his household to the city. Ah, listen. I don't know how many thousands of people I've sent to the city. I don't know how many thousands of people up there that I've sent. Whenever the time comes that God sends His Son to cross the Jordan to get me, to take me to the heavenly city, you mark it down. It's going to take an awful long time for me to shake hands with all the people I've sent up there. Oh, the bad reunion. Oh, I know you. You're Billy Sunday. And Dwight Moody, I'll declare. Well, you know about that. And they'll say, well, oh, you're old Jack Hiles, aren't you? Never thought you'd get here, you cantankerous bum. But I'll be there. I'll be there. And all the mothers welcoming little children, and the children saying hello to mothers, and the husbands saying hello to wives who've come on, and the wives say hello to husbands. Oh, what a happy reunion time. And as David got off the ferry boat, the bands and the banners and the shouts and the embraces and the hugs and the kisses all picture that marvelous reunion that we're going to have with those that have gone before. I was out in Tucson, Arizona the other day preaching. Walked up on the platform, looked back over here, and there sat the Howard Paradise family, Mr. Paradise, and there sat the Smiths beside them, members here for years, and there sat Mrs. Clifton down here on the front and her daughter Sue right beside her, and there sat the Cruz family who went to Hiles Anderson College pastoring out there, and as I walked out on the platform, you could see them trying to catch my eye, you know, but I can't smile to everybody, you can't do that, you know, and I try to act a little bit, you know, subdued, you know, and so forth. But it's a funny thing. You'd be amazed how happy you are to see me away from here. Folks can come to this church and be here for 20 years and never one time smile when I walk out there. Go on vacation, and I'll go preach where you're near there, and you'll drive 40 miles to me preach. And when I walk out, you'll go... Something about it. I don't know what it is. And you come back here and won't even shake my hand next time you see me, maybe. But boy, folks will get mad and leave this church. And I'll go preach somewhere across the country and they'll come to hear me and think, look like I'm a long lost friend. And I'd like to get a nice pick and stick in their eyeballs, but. there's something about it. When you're there, you enjoy welcoming folks that come. Will our welcome be less? Say, folks. This is no landing in Moscow. This is no landing in Leningrad. This is no landing in Istanbul. David is no stranger. David knows practically everybody over there on the other side. When the ferry boat chugs its way and lands on the other side, David's not some strange place. And believe me, when you get to heaven, you won't be in some strange country. You're not going to some Leningrad or Istanbul or Moscow. You're going to a place where your friends, many of your friends are already there. They're calling, gently calling. They're calling me to come. Oh, let me tell you, on the other side of the Jordan, when that little ferry boat that's built on the other side comes and takes us safely across, what a wonderful, wonderful welcome. Looking for friends who have long waited for us, who prepared for us, who will rush to meet us. I recall the first time I went to Alaska. I'll be there tomorrow, God willing. Some of our folks were looking for me, already up there living in Alaska. Oh, how happy they were to see me. And oh, how nice they were and how thoughtful they were because I was there. It'll just be a few days till all of us are across the Jordan and the ferry unloads and we'll be on the other side. Won't it be a good thing never to get tired again? Won't it be a good thing never, nobody, in heaven we'll have our church. I think we'll have our church all together. We'll have heaven's largest Sunday school. And we'll have Jesus for big days. And he won't preach. I'll do the preaching, but we'll have him for Sunday school rally. But I'll brag on him while he's there. But Dr. Evans, nobody's ever going to come in and say, I lost my job. I'll never go to bed at midnight and toss and tumble and say, oh God, bless those people, dozens of them. Heaven, if I'm out of trouble, let's go dig up the streets a little bit. Nobody, Dr. Evans, ever gonna call Say, I just found out my baby has leukemia. Nobody's ever going to have a heart attack, Brother Sully. Nobody's ever going to have open heart surgery. We won't even need Dr. Streeter up there. He's one of them. No little child's going to come to my office and say, I don't have a daddy. Could I hug you? No little boy is going to come 7, 8 years of age and say, my daddy left us. Would you be my daddy? It won't belong. It won't belong till the fairy is going to come. And the Lord Jesus is going to come the other side. And he's going to say, I want you now. And I'll go across. And I'll meet my two little sisters I never met before, who died before I was born. And I'll see all the dear people that once sat in these pews who've left us to go on. And Jesus will say, I want to introduce you to all these people. Oh, thank God for the meeting on the other side. But now look carefully. Look very carefully. Nobody got on board this ferry but the king's household. Nobody. Nobody. You can join all the churches you want to join, but nobody but the king's household goes to heaven. You can confess your sins to the priest, so they can write a book that Playboy magazine will publish. And you'll never get to heaven unless you belong to the king's household. That's what it talks about, being born again. What does it mean, being born again? Does it mean joining some church and getting religion and keeping a Dirty Hustler magazine? No, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean to be born again? Does it mean getting religion and then you got some kind of experience and still singing in nightclubs? 10,000 times. No, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean to get born again? It means you come as a sinner, realizing you cannot do one single thing to put one plank on board that ship. And you realize that over on the other side, God has made a ferry. And that ferry is sealed with the precious blood of the Son of God himself. You realize that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners. And you come and say, Jesus, I cannot save myself. I trust you as my Savior. And the minute that you do that, God's Holy Spirit comes into you and makes you a new person, makes you a priest of God and an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and makes you born into God's family. And blessed be God. Listen, what kind of daddy would it be? Was getting on board that ship and said, now, family, you just stay away. Well, what kind of daddy would be? Say, hey, I'm back. Oh, no. No, David said to all of his household, come, get on board now. Get on board. And they got on board and went with David to the other side. Only those in his household. Let me ask you a question this morning. Ask yourself, am I in the king's household? You're not going to get on board the ferry and cross to the side safely because you're a Baptist. You've got to be in the king's household. Not because you lived a good life. You've got to get in the king's household. Not because you've been confirmed. You've got to get in the king's household. How do you get in the king's household? You get born again. How do you get born again? You put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust him and not yourself. His work and not your work. What he did and not what you do. It was old. Dwight Moody used to say there's only two words separate salvation and the unsaved. Two words. Two words separate heaven from hell. One's do and the other's done. One's do, the other's done. Those go to hell that try to do. Those go to heaven that realize it's done. It's done. Before that little ship ever got in the muddy waters of the Jordan, before that little ship ever jumped on Jordan's nervous waters, that little ship was tested. That little ship was finished. And all in the world, the household of David had to do was get on the ship. And back down to 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus cried, it is finished! What did he mean? He meant now the work's been done. And from the other shore comes
final salvation and God's grace and God's mercy and God's pardon and God's redemption. What you all do this morning, you folks trying to work your way to heaven, get out of the shipbuilding business. You folks trying to get to heaven because you're baptized, get out of the shipbuilding business. By the way, get out of the business of trusting your salvation. Anybody else is building a ship for you too, other than on the other side. And receive the Savior. Thank God. Thank God for that blessed truth. Yeah, we're going to die. I'm going to die. You are. It won't be long for the youngest of us. Just a while. And we'll come to the Jordan. My mother's been sick. Oh, she's not bad sick. When you're 92, you're always bad sick, I guess, if you get sick. Awful cold. And I guess Erlene and I never hear a little body as it coughs and rattles in the chest without, you know, wondering. But I'm not worried about it. If she goes on, I'll miss her. Ah, but think of it. There's Aunt Jimmy. There's Uncle Harvey. And Uncle Roy. And Aunt Octa. And there's Loreen. And there's Hazel. And there's Uncle Basil. And Aunt Gara. I don't think she's going to find it too bad. If you're on the ferry. Our Heavenly Father.